I'm John Kroll. Coming up on No Limits, we're going to talk about the ways Indiana does and doesn't open its doors to people who come to this country from elsewhere. We're going to talk about welcoming immigrants to the Hoosier State. We will discuss this with some great guests. Terry Morris Downs of the Immigrant Welcome Center, immigration attorney Angela Adams, and natural helper Maria Pimentel-Gannon. Please join the conversation by calling 1-866-476-3881, emailing nolimits@wfyi.org, or connecting via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. We look forward to chatting with you. Now, this news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, executive editor of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking today about welcoming immigrants to Indiana. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Got some great guests today. They are Terry Morris Downs, the Immigrant Welcome Center. Terry, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's nice to be here with you, John.
It's good to have you here. Angela Adams, who is an immigration attorney. Angela, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
It's good to have you here. And Maria Pimentel-Gannon, who is a natural helper. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Maria, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. It's so nice to be here.
It's good to have you here. Well, I want to start first just with an overview. Immigration obviously is a huge issue in this country. It's become a significant issue in the state, too, because there have been attempts to pass immigration legislation that is specific to Indiana. We probably will end up talking about that during the program, but I'd like just to start with kind of a baseline. How do we do in terms of welcoming immigrants to this state? What are some of the challenges right now? And I'll start with Terry Morris Downs.
Thank you, John. I think Indianapolis and the state of Indiana have been very welcoming to me, foreign-born residents here, especially in central Indiana. We have many universities that are attracting many international students. We have foreign-born coming into Indianapolis for entrepreneurial opportunities, for job availability, for affordable housing, and many other reasons that we can celebrate having so many immigrants and refugees coming into Indianapolis. In fact, the 2010 census data indicates that if not for the number of foreign-born moving directly into Marion County, Indiana, we would have had a population decrease. So we are very grateful to so many people who have decided to make Indianapolis their home.
Angela Adams, I'll ask the same. What are some of the legal challenges in terms of immigration?
Mm-hmm. I think in general, you know, people have the intention to be welcoming, and a great example of that is the Immigrant Welcome Center. But we do struggle with the challenges and the issue of the rule of law and how to implement, you know, how to be welcoming, and do we welcome everyone, regardless of their immigration status or their aspiring goals. I think we have to recognize that in the country, we're a nation of both immigrants and a nation of laws. And we have to kind of, that there's a challenge in trying to seek a balance in that, and that trying to find that, you know, focus of where do we, you know, along the continuum of immigration solutions, where do we want to focus our efforts? I think there's real encouragement right now in the local and the national level of bipartisan groups coming together to focus on immigration. I think that urging members of Congress to pass some kind of common sense immigration reform in this year, in this session, we've seen so many efforts of conservatives, even conservative groups and middle groups coming forward and saying, hey, we want a path to citizenship. We want to be able to increase economic growth and to attract the best and the brightest and to be the best possible city we can be.
Maria, start first, probably everyone out there, I know, is probably wondering, what is a natural helper? So we'll start with that piece first. What is a natural helper?
I'm going to respond to that, and then after I'm done, I will invite Terry to add to that and to fill in wherever, whatever gaps I might have left. But a natural helper is an individual who has a heart for helping others become the contributing citizen that we're all able to be. A natural helper will help that individual get acclimated to the community, help them find the resources they need, such as how to get to how to find the right doctor, how to get their banking done, et cetera. It's as if going into somebody's home and the hostess tells you, here you'll find this and here you'll find that and help yourself to this. And a natural helper is someone who will take the individual by the hand, and in this case we're talking about a foreign-born or an immigrant who is here, and just help make the transition into this city, into this community, easier through making, informing them of what is available or seeing what their particular situation is.
I know assimilation can be kind of a controversial word, so but it sounds like it's some, and I'm trying, struggling to try to, but it sounds almost like a natural helper is a kind of assimilation coach or someone who figures out ways to move into some sort of integrated approach to this new community in which they have to live and reside. Is that a fair definition? Or
John, if I could change that just a little bit.
Yeah, please. I'm asking because I want to make it clear.
The word that I like to use is participation rather than assimilation. It's a way of helping them participate into their new home, into their new community.
Yeah, it is almost as if on this, because the vocabulary has become part of the challenge, as if we need a whole new set of words to describe what's going on here. Why is this issue of immigration as politically charged as it is? I'll throw that one back to Angela Adams.
Well, I think you've got, two extremes. You've got, and with any issue, you really do have the extremes. You've got the, one side that's very liberal that, everyone wants to call it an amnesty, or you've got the other side that says, well, let's deport them all. And I think the challenge is finding somewhere that's, immigration is not black and white. We can't make it that simple. Every case is different. So the challenge is really finding, really learning about immigration. What does our current system actually provide for and not provide for? Is there a line to get in? Most people don't have a line to get in order to be aspiring new citizens of the country. So trying to learn about the system in order to figure out how to fix the system, and then really looking at how can we be specific in dealing with each type of individual situation.
We are talking about how well Indiana welcomes immigrants to this country. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Terry Morris Downs, in terms of, I guess I probably should say, what does the Indiana or the Immigrant Welcome Center do? I mean, what is your mission?
We help to connect the foreign-born to all of the opportunities in Indianapolis to help them integrate faster and to help them understand all of the opportunities that are available in Indianapolis. So we work with a variety of immigrants through our natural helpers, and currently we have about 70 natural helpers representing 38 different countries of origin and speaking about 40 different languages. And we do all sorts of answer all sorts of integration questions. Many times someone will need help finding an English class so that they can learn English, finding affordable housing, helping to connect people socially to some of the people from their homeland who are also residing here in Indianapolis. I think we do that especially well through our natural helpers. We also work very closely with places of worship, with schools, with social service agencies that are working with foreign-born clients and may have language or cultural difficulties and need someone to help navigate a conversation.
And assume for the moment that I'm someone newly arrived in this country, and I've just gotten here. I'm listening to this program right now, and I'm thinking, oh, I could use some of that. How do they find you?
They can find us.
Feel free to give them your URL. This is your chance to plug what you do. Okay.
We're at www.immigrantwelcomecenter.org. We're also
go ahead and do that again in case they didn't have a pencil ready.
Yes, it's immigrantwelcomecenter, CENTER.org, all one word. And we're also on Facebook. You can find us just by searching on Facebook at Immigrant Welcome Center. And they can call our office directly if they need assistance at area code 317-808-2326.
Well, and I want to talk a little bit about some of the obstacles, obviously, that we immigrants face when they come here. What is the biggest challenge, the thing that you find that they need the most help with? I'll stay with you for a moment, Terry, and then move it to Maria. What is the biggest challenge that they face when they arrive here in the state?
I would say, in a very broad term, just connecting and understanding the cultural barriers, because they are a stranger in a strange land. And I often, say, picture yourself living in a foreign country where all the language is foreign to you and you don't understand how things work there. You would naturally seek out someone who speaks your language, who's gone through a similar experience, and try to find someone who can help you navigate that and understand it better. Many times we find that newly arrived immigrants are just feeling very isolated and afraid and lonely, and want to connect with other people from their homeland, or people who speak their native language, just to have that sense of belonging that all of us need.
Maria, in your work with immigrants, what do you find that they need the most help with?
I agree with Terry. And for me, what I find the most is loneliness, a sense of feeling lonely or even feeling alone until they meet people from their fellow country. I think the fear of the unknown and uncertainty are also things that they're facing. Just, how do I do this? How do I begin this? So I think that taking that first step is the greatest need that they have.
How long have you been doing this kind of work, Maria? How long?
As a natural helper, I've been doing this for, what did we decide? It's been a number of years.
Okay. It's been since 2008.
Okay, since 2008. That's how long I've been doing it
as a formal
natural helper. I've been doing this. I started in the 70s when I first started working with immigrants who came in as seasonal and migrant farm workers. And I might just share with you,
sure,
that as your listening audience listens to the word immigrant, immigration, foreign-born, etc., that does not equate or equal undocumented, because there are many foreign-born, there are many immigrants who are documented. They just happen to be foreign-born, or haven't really, they've been moving from place to place, and even though they've been in the United States, with coming here, it's like starting all over again. And it would be like any American going to a different state and, wanting to be a part of that state, wanting to participate in that community. The uniqueness is that many of these people, and I'm saying these people, and I'm an immigrant, John.
Mm-hmm. Where were you born?
I was born in Mexico City.
Okay.
So it's just a matter of, wanting to be a part of the community.
Well, and I'm going to stay with you for just a second.
Okay.
Because part of what fascinates, and I remember some years ago when I was traveling in the Far East, I was staying in a nice hotel, and I got up and wanted to go work out in the gym they had there because they had meetings all day. And I get there and think, oh good, there's a treadmill here, and I can just run and get something. I get on, and all of the instructions were in Mandarin.
Right.
So I'm sitting next to there was a young woman working out next to me who's Chinese, and just tiny, pounding away. And I'm standing there just looking at this thing and not even knowing what to do. And she says, in effect, you know, looks over and just, you know, with absolute contempt hits the start button on it. And, you know, the signal, because I was a decided minority there in that situation, I just felt like, oh, man, what she's telling me here is, man, he's not only big and clumsy, he's stupid,
right.
too.
Exactly. Yeah,
and simply yes. because I did not understand the language. I guess in a couple of seconds, once we come back, I want to talk a little bit about what is most mystifying to immigrants when they come to this culture, what scares them the most, what they just don't get. We are talking about welcoming immigrants to Indiana here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, executive editor of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking today about welcoming immigrants to Indiana. My guests are Terry Morris Downs of the Immigrant Welcome Center, Angela Adams, who's an immigration attorney, and Maria Pimentel-Gannon, who is a natural helper. We've talked about that. It is kind of an immigration coach, I guess, as it were, or counselor or helper. I can see why you arrived at the language of helper rather than it sounds like it's a more holistic approach than. And Maria, we were talking right before the break, and I posed a question about when someone newly arrived in this country gets here, what they find most mystifying about it, the part of our culture that is just the hardest to understand for someone who's been an outsider up until that point.
I think the example you gave of your travels is an excellent example of what many face, the language. The language is one of the greatest things that is probably the most scary, being able to read the directions, read signs. The other thing is understanding them. You might be able to read it, but, you know, what does it mean? So I think understanding along with the language. If language is not a barrier, then the newness, you know, the direction, where do I go? You come into, and Indianapolis isn't, you know, as big as Chicago or New York City, so it's a little bit easier. And we tend to be a little bit friendly here in the Midwest, so you can ask for directions, but not knowing what building is where. And then we don't have the best public transportation system, so, you know, figuring out a way to get from point A to point B. I think that the lack, especially if you come in and you have no transportation, or, you know, it's how do you navigate where you need to go, how to get there, et cetera.
We are talking about how well Indiana welcomes immigrants. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. We've made some allusions to the fact that this has been a political debate, too. Right now, in fact, it looks like Congress is about to do something in terms of immigration reform. And here in Indiana, I think for what, the past four or five sessions, we've had, you know, immigration legislation introduced primarily by Senator Mike Delf, State Senator Mike Delf. I guess in addition to all of the other factors that come along with being an immigrant, coming here and then being the focus of such an intense and heated debate within the culture that you're trying to understand has to provoke some reactions. Angela Adams, what in terms of dealing with, I assume many of your clients are immigrants, right?
Yes, all my clients. And
how does it, how does the fact that this debate has been raging, does it elevate their anxiety levels? Does it make them feel like they shouldn't be here or that they don't want to be here? Could you speak to that a little bit?
Absolutely. I've had many clients ranging from, you know, people who don't have lawful immigration status and are trying to get lawful immigration status to people who are in lawful immigration status who might be students studying at one of our universities as an international student, or someone who wants to open a new business, an entrepreneur who says, you know, they want to put money into the economy and create jobs. A lot of people are very discouraged by the attitude, by the tone of our state towards immigrants and welcoming the foreign born. I think it's a challenge that they face and that we face of how to, really turn that around and make sure that people know that Indiana is a wonderful, welcoming place and that we want entrepreneurial spirit. We want to encourage economic development and growth, and that we want to give people the freedom and opportunity to achieve their goals and to be better.
We've gotten an email question from a listener who doesn't want to go on the air. It says, how have immigration patterns changed? And I'll throw that one to Terry Morris Downs.
Well, the city of Indianapolis was built by immigrants, mainly from Western and Eastern Europe. So I would say the main trend changes, at least for the from the census data, has been where immigrants are coming from, mm-hmm. rather than the numbers.
And I think that's what the listener was trying to drive the question toward, is where are they coming from now?
Right. Right now, most of the immigrants, at least in Marion County, are from Mexico, from China, India, and I can't remember the other two, but those are the top three countries of origin for the foreign-born in Marion County.
And what impact has that had on the life of the community? I mean, have we become, a more culturally diverse place because of that?
I certainly have seen that. I grew up in Indianapolis, and to me it seems extremely diverse now compared to what it was 40 or 50 years ago when I was a child. And when you look at all of the cultural festivals and ethnic restaurants and businesses owned by immigrant entrepreneurs, you can really see how the city is embracing that newfound diversity and welcoming people from all over the world and making Indianapolis a much more vibrant place to live.
Angela Adams, what could we do to make it easier for immigrants to fit in and make contributions in our society? Are there changes in the law mm-hmm. that you would recommend? What should we do?
Well, I think it's a really exciting and unique time right now, as you mentioned. There's a lot of bipartisan momentum in the country right now to push for immigration reform. We're seeing, a growing group of people from across the spectrum, faith, law enforcement, and business leaders. I'm working with a group right now called Bibles, Badges, and Business for Immigration Reform. It's a national movement and network of those very conservative faith, law enforcement, and business leaders that come forward and say, we need immigration. Immigration is good for the economy. It's good for business. As law enforcement, we don't need to be focusing on finding out if someone has lawful status. Our job is to prevent crime and keep our communities safe. So, and then faith leaders are coming out and saying, how do we treat people? How do we treat the stranger among us? And what does the Bible say about immigration? So I think these are very encouraging things that are happening on a national level, and then right here in our own city as well, to really move the debate forward and hopefully encourage Congress to pass some kind of common sense immigration solution that includes a pathway to citizenship for those aspiring new Americans.
And we should say that the Indiana General Assembly last year, mm-hmm. Passed some immigration legislation that has since been challenged in court. Can you speak to the status of that right now?
Yes. We did challenge that in court. I was actually one of the attorneys on the case, and we did get a preliminary injunction. It has not been permanent yet, but we're still waiting on that. And when the Supreme Court issued their decision on the Arizona case, one of the provisions that was struck down by the Supreme Court was very similar, almost identical to one of the provisions being challenged in the Indiana case. And the Attorney General took a step back and said, the Supreme Court has spoken in this area. And so really, we hope that to see a result soon that would provide a permanent injunction, but the temporary injunction is still in place. So that means really that only two provisions were challenged in that entire law, and those two provisions, use or acceptance of a consular identification card, and then the one that was similar to Arizona was if you were a police officer, had if they had a warrant, without a warrant, if they stopped you and they had probable cause to believe that you had committed an aggravated felony, you had a deportation order, or you had a detainer from ICE, that you could be held. And that those two provisions never went into effect.
It's been kind of an unusual story, too, in that, as you say, there was the legislation, then the litigation, and actually the state's attorney general, mm-hmm. Greg Zeller, pretty much tried to, I think, warn the legislature that they were likely to lose. Mm-hmm. And the attorney general's been a guest on this program, and all of that indicated that it was a fairly unusual step for him to speak that forcefully mm-hmm. to them. Then, obviously, after the U.S. Supreme Court ruled, he said, well, there is this temporary injunction in place. The Supreme Court has ruled, do we really want to continue this? Mm-hmm. At which point, then, I think the three state senators have instituted legal action to sort of serve as their own attorneys or have someone else serve as the attorney, the state's attorney, in place of the attorney general. So it's become very, very complex. I guess what I want to get at here is, there is a level of commitment here toward, you know, obviously resisting immigration. Where does that come from? I mean, what drives the folks who really want to stop immigrants from coming to this country? What is it that drives them? Terry Morris Downs.
That's a difficult question to answer, John. You know, there are a lot of myths about immigration that the immigrants are taking jobs from Americans, or that they are, you know, receiving more in public benefits than Americans do. And those have all been refuted time and time again. But the perception remains that immigrants are threatening my culture and my way of life. And to have some open discussions about those types of fears. The Immigrant Welcome Center is starting a new initiative this year called Welcoming Indianapolis. And we will be in various neighborhoods where there are high concentrations of both immigrants or refugees and U.S.-born who aren't really interacting with one another, to give them the opportunity to be able to speak openly about to one another, to learn about one another's cultures, and to hopefully forge the types of relationships where they want to start working together on community projects or other ways that they would be able to identify one another as friends and neighbors rather than adversaries or someone who speaks a different language and therefore I'm not going to interact with them.
Yes, Angela Adams.
I was going to say, Terry's absolutely right. And I think one word I would use that fuels that fire is fear. I think fear is part of the problem, but also the unknown. I think
are they afraid of, though? Because there is something here.
I think, you know, Terry mentioned a couple things, you know, that they're taking jobs or that they're, you know, having negative effect on the economy. Just having someone to blame, you know, in a time of need or time of trouble, I think it serves as a scapegoat. But the other thing I would say is that many people have never themselves met someone who's in the situation. So the more we can tell stories and the more we can reach people by this, something like Welcoming Indianapolis is allowing things to do. I think when you meet someone who's faced, you fall in love with someone, either as a friend or a daughter-in-law or a spouse or, you know, a child that is in a difficult situation and their immigration status is undetermined, I think your opinion changes.
Right.
I think,
right.
You know, when you meet someone and you actually know mm-hmm. them and you appreciate them for a person, opinions do change.
Mm-hmm. I say that many times to people, that the people who don't like immigrants are the people who don't know immigrants, because everyone I know who has befriended someone from another country thinks immigration is a good thing.
Maria.
I was just going to add to that. You ask, you know, what is the fear that's driving them? What are they afraid of? And surely Terry and Angela have responded well to that. I would also say that the biggest fear, which is a very natural human tendency, is the fear of change. Mm-hmm. You know, the fear, we mentioned the fear of the unknown, the fear of anything that is different, which means anyone that is different, the territorialism, if you will. You know, this is mine and now I have to share it. The fear of understanding or lack of understanding. So I think that sometimes people don't even know what they're afraid of, but they just know that they're afraid. And especially if you have bad publicity on the one hand, mm-hmm. Then that just festers that fear. But when you really get to listen and you really get to learn, and through the stories and through the meeting people and through the going beyond your comfort level and just giving everyone a chance, you'll find that, you know, we're talking about a group of very wonderful, kind, loving people who are just trying to make it into, and we see them as entrepreneurs and we see them as very successful people. They just need to be given a chance.
We are talking about how well Indiana welcomes immigrants here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. I want to ask a question real quickly. Given this intense kind of debate, and to some degree, you know, Angela, I think all of you, have said that, you know, some of this can be a little off-putting to it. Why do they come here? What is it about this country, this culture, and this city specifically that draws them here? I'll stay with Maria for a second.
I think you might look at some different reasons for immigrants to come. One of them, and a very common reason, is for an opportunity for something better, something different than they've known. I think for why they're coming here to Indianapolis and to Indiana, it has a lot of potential. It's a welcoming city. There's opportunity to grow in their business, to do whatever needs to be done. And because the Midwest is a good, safe place, if you will, to raise a family, I think that's another reason that they're here.
Mm-hmm. Angela, you'd indicated you hadn't wanted to. Okay, we'll throw it to Terry.
Many of the clients that we serve say Indianapolis is such a friendly, hospitable mm-hmm. city, mm-hmm. especially the people we serve who come from other U.S. cities like, you know, the East Coast or Chicago. They say there no one will, you know, even acknowledge your presence, let alone answer a question. You have mm-hmm. to figure it all out on your own. And it's so very different here. People strike up conversations. They're happy to answer questions. They're happy to give directions and take you to someplace or make recommendations. So it's a very friendly mm-hmm. city. And we really see the Immigrant Welcome Center as just an extension of our Hoosier hospitality.
We have gotten a tweet from Indy Reads at Indy Reads. It says 25% of our students are learning English as a second or third language. We need tutors for them. Any way you would recommend helping these folks? I'll stay with you, Terry.
We'd be happy to work, and we do work with Indy Reads. They do amazing work with many of the immigrants and refugees in Indianapolis in helping them to learn English and to be able to read and write in English. So if there's anyone out there listening who's looking for volunteer opportunities, please give us a call or send us an email at the Immigrant Welcome Center. And you can do that at www.immigrantwelcomecenter.org, and we'll help to make the connection.
We are talking about how well Indiana, and Central Indiana in particular, welcome immigrants to the state. My guests are Terry Morris Downs, who is with the Immigrant Welcome Center, Angela Adams, who is an immigration attorney, and Maria Pimentel Gannon, who is a natural helper. That's actually kind of a life coach for someone coming here and working her way into the culture. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, executive editor of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking today about welcoming immigrants to Indiana. My guests are Terry Morris Downs of the Immigrant Welcome Center, Angela Adams, who is an immigration attorney, and Maria Pimentel-Gannon, who is a natural helper. We've gotten a call from a listener who did not want to go on the air, but who said, it's not the immigrants that are the problem. It's the illegal immigrants that he has a problem with. This is a listener named Bruce who says he has a problem with illegal immigration. But I'll let Angela Adams respond to that one.
You know, I can sympathize with that. I think as an immigration attorney, frustrations that I have every day are when people come to me and employers come to me and say, I'll do anything to help this person. How can I get them lawful status? And many times there's absolutely nothing we can do because under the current immigration system, there is no line to get into. So oftentimes our current supply of visas does not equal the demand of visas. Even though there is a high unemployment rate right now, we are still experiencing a gap in the labor force. We're still seeing companies like Cummins and others that need workers in these really key areas, and they can't find them. Also for high level, for entrepreneurs or for, you know, the entrepreneur visas are so hard to get, and the requirements are so difficult to meet that oftentimes it really just is impossible for someone who wants to create a business or wants to buy a business or wants to, you know, change a visa status to another visa status. They get very discouraged. The denial rates are very high for something like an intercompany transferee. So the problems with the current immigration system really need to be fixed in order to make it a realistic system that's driven not just by politics, but by the economy, by our need, by, hoping to encourage economic growth. I think, you know, really, if we look at immigration as a positive impact to the economy, it will help us be better as a country.
We are talking about how well Indiana welcomes immigrants. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. Aaliyah, welcome to the program. Aaliyah?
Hello?
Hello. Yes. Welcome
Hi.
To the program. What's
Thank
on your mind?
Thank you very much. Thank you for taking my call. I enjoy very much your show. I think that it's great for all of us, your users.
Oh, thank you.
My name is Aline Swanson, and I would like to reach out to your panel and asking about other organizations such as the International Center that bring such a wonderful service for immigrants here in Indianapolis, help them with cross-cultural training and settling in, help them to navigate the city, and to learn a little bit more about other organizations that develop such a great service as the International Center.
Thank you very much. We're having a little bit of trouble with the phone connection, so I think I'll let my guest respond. Thank you very much for the call. Well, Terry Morris Downs, I'm assuming that you're not the only place that will reach out to immigrants in the state of Indiana or even in central Indiana. Are there other resources that people could look to here?
Yes,
she mentioned the International Center, obviously.
Right. The International Center does work with many of the multinational corporations in Indianapolis to provide services to their employees. We also are a large resettlement hub for refugees from throughout the world. And we have two excellent resettlement agencies working directly with refugees here in Indianapolis, Catholic Charities Indianapolis and Exodus Refugee Immigration. And then there are a number of very good organizations, more ethnically based, such as La Plaza, the African Center, Asian Help Services, Asian Services of Indiana, that also work with people within specific nationalities.
We are talking about immigration here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. We also had a listener who did not want to go on the air who was asking a question really about how educational systems have adapted to these new immigration patterns, whether we're doing enough there or not. And I'll throw that one to Maria. Are the schools at all levels doing what they should to welcome students from different countries, different cultures?
John, I think the schools are doing what they think they could. Is there room for improvement? Absolutely. Is there room for growth? Absolutely. And I think we need to take what we have now and find how we can work together, the different agencies, groups, organizations, and how to collaborate. The Immigrant Welcome Center serves as a catalyst for these different organizations, including the educational groups, to help them understand. The Immigrant Welcome Center provides some really good educational evenings to promote the understanding, to promote the services, to do the connecting. There is a lot more that could be done in the educational services, mm-hmm. but I think it's one of those things where a lot is happening in a quickly, and it's how can you best serve the needs that are there, and you have to identify the needs first of all. Language is one of the biggest needs that.
Well, clearly, a fair number of the questions and the things we've talked about is getting past the language barrier, as it were. Angela Adams, we've obviously got in this state, in this country, a significant debate about education and education reform. At the same time that we've had this debate about immigration, do your clients find that confusing? Do they find figuring out how to deal with the education system while they're worrying about their legal status and all of that to be just another layer or level of complexity and obstacles?
I think, you know, prior to becoming an immigration attorney, I actually worked with the Indiana Department of Education Language Minority and Migrant Programs. So I had the opportunity to go into our schools all across the state and to help teachers of limited English proficient children in their classrooms. And, you know, I felt it. I felt it every day. That was, 15 years ago. And I think today we're still struggling with, you know, how to best acclimate our teaching strategies to reach kids who maybe don't have proficiency in English. But we've come so far. We really have. From where I saw us then until now, we're really, we've improved so much. And the state is aware, probably not as aware as it could be, but, you know, there's always lack of funding and always trying to stretch our resources really thin. But in general, access to education, K-12, this U.S. Supreme Court has said that doesn't matter if you have legal immigration status or not, you are guaranteed access to K-12 schools. And so one of the issues that we're really facing is what happens after high school? How do they go to college? And in our state, Indiana is one of a few states, very few states, that has passed legislation to restrict in-state tuition to undocumented students. And we're working on that right now in the state legislature because a lot of kids who've gone through our K-12 system and our, you know, valedictorian, straight A students have so much potential, have lived here most of their lives, born but raised here. And we've brought them through our school system, and to just throw that all away and not give them access to post-secondary education is a real detriment to our community and our growth.
It would seem the argument on one side is that obviously they've consumed resources that because they weren't born here and weren't citizens, might not be entitled to. On the other side, it is, I would think, the argument would be, well, we've already invested a massive sum in training them. Right. We ought to do something to yes. try to reap the benefit of that investment.
You know, there's also a common misconception that taxes aren't paid, and you know, the base of tax base provides education, and so the vast majority of immigrants, whether documented or undocumented, do pay taxes.
Mm-hmm. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Yeah.
What's on your mind, Jeff?
Well, my family and I have five kids, and we lived in Italy for 10 years. And we're basically immigrants there. And now that we live back in Indiana, my kids are coming home, and they're telling me that there are a lot of immigrant children that come into their class, and they don't speak English. And what they're telling me is the attitudes from the other kids are actually very rude, and they get angry that children are coming into the school system, they don't know English, and that they're immigrants. So I spend time talking to my kids about how their families are coming to this country, trying to better themselves and get a better family. My question is, not all parents do that. Is there anything in the works to provide that kind of education in our schools so that the students understand why these families are moving to Indiana?
Yeah, Jeff, we're losing you on the connection here. I think I've got the gist of your question. We'll rephrase it, and we'll try to get an answer for you. Thank you very much for the call. Well, I think what he was getting at, and we have talked an awful lot about things we could do to better help, you know, immigrants. And what are the things that people coming to this country and culture could do to fit in? Is there counseling that comes with that, too? And I'll throw that one to Maria.
I was trying to listen real closely to what he was saying. If I could comment, John, on what he said about the kids who are angry, the kids who are receiving the finding that a lot of immigrant children are coming in. You know, attitudes are caught, you know, and they model what the parents say, et cetera. So something that could be done on both ends is to have a lot of communication between parents and students. I applaud this caller. I don't remember his name, but I applaud this caller.
Jeff, yeah.
Jeff. Thank you, Jeff, for taking the time to sit down and explain to his kids, you know, what it is. These children are no different than the American-born children. They have the same needs, the same desires, the same interests. And if parents could do that with their kids on a regular basis, what could the immigrant children do? The immigrant children could try to, and with the ESL classes or the ENL classes, they do try to do that. But with other agencies and organizations to support that, you know, we could all collectively try to get the students to improve their English to start working on a faster basis. And perhaps the schools could have some kind of clubs or groups in the school where they could be a partner program, a mentor program, where there's an American student helping a non-American student or a foreign-born student.
Mm-hmm. What are the devices in that? You know, device is not really the term I want to use, but ways that you break down those kinds of barriers. I mean, the image, I've traveled overseas a little bit with my family. I've got some kids, too, and I found that even if there's a language barrier, for example, with my son, if there is a ball involved, in some way, the walls come down at that point, that they may not be able to talk, but if they can play basketball or soccer or whatever, they'll figure out a way to communicate with each other. And respect, yeah, Maria.
I think there are some common things. Like you said, Baltimore sports is one for sure, you know, sports or games.
Yes.
You know, looking at what we have in common and working on that together and letting kids, a lot of times if you just let the kids work it out, they'll find a way to work it out. But here's where teachers would really be key in getting all of the students to recognize that we have a stranger in our midst. Let us welcome that stranger and receive them with love the way we would want to be received if we went to their country.
We are talking, yes, Terry.
I just wanted to add, too, that I know about some successful partnerships here in Indianapolis between faith-based organizations or places of worship and schools where they're finding the volunteers to help kids after school learn English and working directly with the parents to learn English as well.
Ron, welcome to the program.
Yes, how are you doing today?
Just fine. What's on your mind? We're getting a little close on time, so.
Okay. Well, real quick, I just want to commend you guys on the Welcoming Center for the Immigrants. I think it's excellent. You're doing an excellent job.
Thank you.
I think that's perfect. My only other question would be to the attorney is that I believe, or do you think, though, that if someone does enter in the country, or this here illegally, do you feel that is, you know, well, I guess I would want to say is everybody has laws of their land. So just like on the same thing that if we were entering a country illegally, do you feel that we would be breaking the law as well? I'll get off the phone and let you answer that.
Great. Thank you very much for the call and the question, Ron. Well, and that is kind of a fundamental question. As a lawyer, you're also an officer of the court. You have an obligation to uphold the laws as well. How do you respond to Ron?
I think that's a very good question. I think, you know, as an attorney, we would never encourage someone to break the laws. We would never encourage someone to work without authorization. We, as attorneys, immigration attorneys, we help people to obtain lawful immigration status within the boundaries of the law. And that's what I do on a daily basis. But I can't make their decisions for them. So I advise and I give them advice in my office and would never encourage breaking the law. But once they leave my office, you know, their decisions are theirs and the consequences are theirs. I guess kind of rising above that into kind of the debate of immigration, I think the frustration comes really when there's no answer, when you feel like there should be an answer. And, you know, when we're looking at people as humans and human dignity and how do we treat people and how do we be welcoming? And not only that, how do we be the best, have the best and the brightest in our state? And when you see somebody who really you feel like, wow, there should be an answer. There should be a way here, but there's not within the law. No, I definitely wouldn't encourage breaking the law, but I question the law itself. When we look back to, you know, every day, every year, our lawmakers go into session and make new laws.
Mm-hmm.
And Congress makes new laws every year. So if our immigration system is broken and old and outdated, then it might be time to look at that law and make it realistic and common sense and real kind of meet the needs of today's economy.
I'm going to give you each about 10 seconds. What is one thing we could do to make this situation better? Terry Morris Downs, I'll start with you. 10 seconds, very quickly.
Make laws just for everyone and provide a pathway to citizenship for immigrants.
Angela, you've got about 8 seconds actually now.
I always tell people, tell your story. I think it's really important to get out there and talk about your situation so that others understand.
And Maria?
Open your heart. Put yourself in the shoes of the other person. And if you knew what brought some people here, you would understand. I'm for the law. I'm not a law-breaking person. But I'm also a heart-moving person, and I know that people are here because this affords them a better opportunity for their children, something they would not have in their country.
I think that's a very good last word for this program. I want to thank all of you for joining us. Thank also our listeners for calling and joining into the conversation. It was a lively discussion. I'd like to thank Terry Morris Downs, Angela Adams, and Maria Pimentel-Gannon. Sorry, I've been talking for
that's
a while
okay.
today. I am John Kroll. You've been listening to No Limits. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Producer, Sharon Alsett. Interactive Media Coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical Producer, Jeanette Rhodes. And Board Engineer, Don Hibschweiler. We invite you to join us each week for No Limits, made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.